Great. All right, good morning, everybody. In my final act as chair for 2018, I get to call this meeting to order and welcome you all. This is the organizational meeting for the Board of Supervisors for calendar year 2019. And I would ask if everybody please join the board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
As always on our agenda, we have public comment first. It's an opportunity for members of the public to comment on any items on this agenda or otherwise. If you have comments, come right on up to the microphone. Seeing no one moving his microphone, we'll move to organization of the board. Item one is election of officers, and I'll start by saying this. I am so excited about the opportunities that we see ahead of us in 2019. Every time you take a new look at something, there's an opportunity there to improve it, to not only ask why we do it the way we do it, but is there a better way? And I'm so excited to serve on this board. Loris, I'll say to you, I've been so impressed the last few weeks how you have absolutely dedicated yourself in such a positive way to truly making Story County a better place. It is so exciting, and I am so I'm so thrilled at what 2019 holds for us. I'm pulling for you every step of the way. And to Linda, so I see Jane Halliburton in the audience, and up till now, Jane Halliburton was far and away the most qualified supervisor to ever sit in that chair for the first time. She's not anymore. You're now the most qualified to sit in that chair for the first time. And watching not only the campaign you ran, but the years of leadership, and specifically governmental leadership that you've shown, really, really fires me up to serve on the board with you. I'm so excited about that. So I'm thrilled to make the first motion, and my motion is that I move Linda Merkin as chair and Loris Olson as vice chair for 2019. Okay, that motion dies for a lack of a second. Are there any other motions?
Yes, I would move Loris Olson as chair of the board for 2019.
I'll second that motion.
We have a motion and a second. The only thing I'm going to say is this. I started out with how excited I am and how positive I am about the direction we're headed. Loris, the last few weeks have been awesome. I hope it continues. Unfortunately, I have to deal with what's happened prior to the last few weeks. And so please don't take my lack of support for this motion as an indication that I'm not pulling for you to be ultra successful. I'll do everything in my power, anything that you ask, I'll do to make you successful. Because if you're successful, we're successful, and I truly am pulling for that. Further discussion. Merkin.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders, no. As we move, I'll make the last motion. I move Linda Merkin as vice chair of the Board of Supervisors for 2019.
Aye,
Seth. You call the question.
Any discussion? Okay, in that case, then, take the vote. Merkin?
Yes.
Sanders?
Yes.
Olson? Aye. Let's go ahead and get the plates distributed here for with our names, and we'll switch off the information. As I said, that I am looking forward to 2019. This county has been around for over 150 years. There have been a lot of supervisors, a lot of combination of supervisors, and a lot of different chairs. And each one has left his or her mark on it, and we're honored to have one today. What makes this county so consistent, so progressive, and in front of always its peers has to do with the staff, has to do with the other elected officials, and has to do with boards that have worked together and supported each other. There are three of us up here today, and there are three of us who will be joining together to do administration for the county. So please, let's all look forward to a positive year as we move Story County forward.
Well said.
All right. So, next item here is consideration of minutes.
Well, we've got to set the day and time of
record. Oh, thank you.
Yep.
Right away. Made a mistake. It will not be the last one I make. Okay. So, do I have a motion to set the day and the time of the regular meeting?
Yeah, I would move Tuesday mornings at 10 a.m.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Discussion? Sanders.
Aye.
Perkins.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'll wait for you. And Olson, aye. All right. Now, let's go ahead and do the consideration of minutes. Did you want to take these one at a time, or would someone like to make a motion for all three at the same time?
Yeah, so I'll move that we approve the minutes from December 18th and 26th and the Canvas minutes from our December 18th meeting.
Okay. Let me be comfortable with second on that.
Second.
Okay. Thank you. Discussion? Sanders?
Aye.
Murphy?
Aye.
Olson? Aye. We're going to move on to personnel actions. Do I have a motion?
Yeah, I'll move them as listed.
Okay.
Second.
Thank you. Discussion? Sanders?
Aye.
Murphy?
Aye.
Olson? Aye. We are now into the consent agenda. We'll take a motion.
Yeah, I'll move the consent agenda as presented.
Okay.
Second.
Thank you. Discussion? And Sanders?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
Olson? Aye. No. Okay, there are no public hearing items today, so we move down to Section 9 under additional items. And the first is the discussion and consideration of changes to processes with Veterans Affairs Commission. And I will set this up briefly, and then I would ask for Deb Shilroth and Brett McLean to come forward to give us some background information about the processes and communication that occurs related to the VA Commission, the Board of Supervisors, and staff. Okay. This item is on the agenda today because we have received the resignation of two of the five commissioners. Those resignations were effective December 31st, 2018. There were some concerns expressed in the letters of resignation and also a discussion had with one of the resigning commissioners that there seemed to be what I'm going to call a lack of disconnect between the Veterans Affairs and the supervisors. There seemed to be also changes to processes over the years in which the commissioners felt that they were being left out. There was a question which was answered by our county attorney, Jessica Reynolds, who's here this morning, thank you, about whether we had in fact followed the law, we being the three Board of Supervisor members, had followed the law in our appointment on December 18th. And she affirmed, and I'm sure she's here willing to affirm again this morning, that we did in fact follow the law, which indicates that the Board of Supervisors would, with consultation for the commission, name a nominee and do the appointment. So there's clearly a disconnect. So let's see if we can figure out where it is and what we might want to do about that. I'm going to ask Deb Shilroth, Director of External Operations, and Brett McLean, who is our Veteran Affairs Director, if they would come up and give us some background about just kind of what the processes were, say, 5-6 years ago, and any changes that have been made, changes in communication.
Good morning, Board.
Good morning. I'm glad you just want to go back 5 years, but I can go back 20. I guess go back 5 years ago. As you want to know as far as how appointments happened at that time?
Yes, please. Okay. And also how communication with the board occurred and okay. with you occurred.
Okay. On appointments, excuse me, I'm getting over, trying to get over a cold here. The Commission of Veterans Affairs would, it started off with me with posting an ad that we haven't opened. If we had a commissioner that wanted to renew their appointment, they would apply. The commission at that point, I never liked the idea of picking my own bosses because that's who I work for, is the Commission of Veterans Affairs. So at these interviews, I would ask the questions. I had 10 questions. We asked each one those very same 10 questions. I would leave the room. The commission would decide on who they'd want to recommend to the Board of Supervisors. They would tell me, I would do a letter to the Board of Supervisors, and the board would appoint that person. That's how it went. So the board at that time pretty much said, obviously, commission, you know best. You tell us who to appoint. Because there was no interview done by any board member at this time. It was strictly the commission.
When did that change?
I guess maybe 3 years ago. It's clearly the Board of Supervisors' appointment. And I think maybe before Paul Tooth's passing, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think maybe it was his idea that the board should interview and appoint. And I think the first cycle, it was a board member. I don't know if it was Rick or who. It was Deb. Deb and one board member anyway interviewed the applicant. And that the second year, then I had requested through Deb that at least one commissioner, or myself, or both of us, would sit at that interview. There may be some things that come up about what does the commissioner do, what's expected of them, that kind of thing. And so that's our process now, with our commission chair sitting at the interview. If the commission chair can't show up, then they would ask me. I believe Pat was the first commission chair to go through that cycle. I know there was one interview that he wasn't able to attend. He asked me to attend for him. And that would have been Rick, Deb, myself. But that was your third interview. I think that's where we're at now in the process of doing it that way. As far as I...
Now, Deb, can you give us an idea about then how you became involved?
Yeah. For clarification, I started becoming involved with the interviews for all boards and commissions that the board appoints individuals to 2 years ago. And we have followed the same process for all of those boards and commissions, with the exception of VA. We do have either the VA commission chair or, as Brett indicated, him sitting in on those interviews. Because of the way the code outlines having that consultation with the VA commission and the executive director, whereas with the other boards and commissions, the interviews have primarily been with the Board of Supervisors chair and myself.
And I know that we will be bringing back at a later date the conversation about board and commission appointment process for the other ones that we do. But today, focusing on, thank you for the background history. So, and then, Brett, how did communication and reporting to, changed over the last 5 years?
Well, it really hasn't changed much for me. I mean, I work for the commission. It's kind of hard having five bosses. I don't know if you've ever had five bosses before. But, you know, you
500,000.
You ain't to have five people telling you to do different things, right? So we've kind of narrowed that down to the chair. If I want a sick day, I call the chair. If I want a vacation day, I call the chair, whoever the chair may be. And the chair does my evaluations. I report to the chair and the whole commission monthly in a monthly meeting about, you know, the office and everything. Now, one thing to point out, you talk about all your different commissions, and I have no idea how many that you have, really. I'm thinking four or five, roughly that. But this commission are veterans. This commission, the five that we had in December represented, was in the Army, one in the Army, Air Force, Marines, and we got Navy crew covered with about three of us. These folks have a bond that is like no other commission that you have. And they came from the same place. They all went to boot camp. They all made sacrifices. And they are strictly, even though we compensate them $50 a month, it's not about the money. They are strictly on this commission to serve veterans. And that's why, and that's the only reason that I'm the director of Veterans Affairs is to serve veterans, right? So this commission is a little bit different. It operates on a fiscal year, not a calendar year. Appointments had always been made in June and never in December. Okay? They've always been made in June. And to go back when I was doing this advertising, I would advertise the first day of February. We run it for 90 days, interview in May, appoint in June, and then start in July. Can't get any simpler than that right there.
Deb, can you jump in here now and talk about how you became involved and what your role is related to Brett, and also about the decision change to have everyone make application at the same time for all of our board members?
My role with Veterans Affairs and Brett and the Commission is more of that in the liaison capacity, because Brett does report to the VA Commission, which is a little bit different than the other departments that I work with. I'm more in that liaison capacity. Brett and I talk on a regular basis. With him being co-located with Community Services, there's a lot of overlap in administrative functions that get performed for both departments. And the staffing patterns, and so there's that arrangement. I think that works quite well for that office. As far as the interviewing, the process, when I became involved 2 years ago, Brett and I had talked about the process in terms of advertising for the commissioners and the VA commissioners, and it was about that time when there was a discussion of expanding the commission from a 3-member to a 5-member commission, and the Iowa Code allows for that. There were several reasons behind looking at moving in that direction. One, the size of our county. Two, looking at trying to find representation from all the different communities that are in Story County. Three, and Brett is spot on, this is a working commission. They are very involved with not only the day-to-day operations of the VA office, but also the outreach activities that occur and the events. You can find the commissioners at all of those things. So very much a working commission and very supportive of the veterans here in Story County. So at that point in time, the decision was made to expand to 5 members, and so our process at that point was a little off because of when that decision was made and getting people on the commission, and we expanded it to 5, and the additional 2 members per the Iowa Code, their first terms were only 2-year terms, where the remaining 3 were 3-year terms. And during the course of time, so that took effect in 2016, and during the course of time, we had one of those appointees that needed to step down because of work responsibilities, and so we had a reappointment there. So we've done some of that throughout the time. But you know, as indicated in the December 18th Board of Supervisors meeting, that appointment could occur because we were concerned about a current sitting commissioner maybe not fulfilling their term because of possible deployment. So we just wanted to set the stage to have somebody ready and able to serve in the event that would happen prior to July 1st of 2019.
I'm going to open it up to the board. Any questions?
So the first process that you described, when the commission recommended to the Board of Supervisors, how long do you think that process was in effect?
The recommendation letter happened in June to be placed.
I mean, what year? I mean, how far back in time?
Oh.
Can you?
I'd say 3 years.
Mm-hmm. 3 years.
It's hard to tell when you're having fun like that, you know. But I think it's probably 3 years ago. I would say, well, it would be before. Lynn Lathrop would have been the first one, because that was a public interview for him, so it had been the year before Lynn was appointed.
I didn't really express myself very well. Let me try this again. You said, would 10 years ago, would the Board of, would the Veterans Commissioners have been making a recommendation?
Yep.
15 years ago?
Yep.
20 years ago? You know what I'm getting at? That was a long-standing arrangement.
Is that if I go
correct?
Back, like I told Lawrence before, if I go back 20 years, you want to leave the commission as a commissioner, you go find your own replacement. And that's what happened.
It went
to the American Legion. That's how we got Brian Anderson for 12 years and Dave Lillen for 12 years. And that's how that worked. Let me follow up, could I please? Sure.
Did the recommendations still come to the Board of Supervisors?
Yes. The board always were the appointing body of every one of these commissioners that we had. Now, here's what happened.
Formally or informally for the person?
No, there wasn't any interview with any board member. It was strictly the commission.
Recommending.
To the Board of Supervisors. Now, what had happened was, laws have changed over time. We need to post this now. We can't just go out and pick our legionnaires that are at the American Legion Day anymore. We need to post this, so we posted this. And I'll be darned if 7 people didn't apply. That's when the interview started. Oh, now we have 7 that are interested. That's when the interview started. That we need to interview these folks. We need to look at their applications. We need to look at their DD-214s. Are they eligible to be on the commission? We got to look at their DD-214 to find out. So that's all important to do before we make that appointment, so we're not appointing somebody that's not eligible to serve on the board.
Thank you. Answer my question.
Okay. Anyway. Yeah, so let's be really clear about what happened here. So in 2014, Paul Toot was chair of the Board of Supervisors, and Paul brought a recommendation to Wayne and myself that the way we were appointing most of our boards and commissions, including Veterans Affairs, he felt like we were not fully meeting our obligations as a Board of Supervisors. And so he asked at that point, and Wayne and I agreed, that we change to a similar system for all our boards and commissions. And it stopped being go find your own replacement, which wasn't just true on the Veterans Commission. It was true for a lot of places. And we moved to a system where the chair of the board would interview and make a recommendation to the board. We'd have the conversation and either appoint or not appoint. Then a couple years ago, we started inviting the chairs of the various commissions to sit in on interviews if they so chose. Clearly, by code, that's something that you do for the Veterans Affairs Commission. This situation is a little unique, and if we want to talk through exactly what happened in this situation, we sure can. It's not necessary, as I see it. We are where we are. What I take exception to is any suggestion at all that there's a lack of communication or something's not happening between the Board of Supervisors or the Veterans Affairs, or there's a lack of support. The reality is this. You look around the state, and Brett, you know this. You look around the state, the reality is the support that the Story County Veterans Affairs Commission gets from its Board of Supervisors is and has been, I look at Gene Halliburton, from way back, second to none. And that's basically true with all our boards and commissions and the support that the Board of Supervisors gives them. As far as this lack of support, I'm up here long enough that I remember when the then commission was dead set against Brett, you moving downstairs into community services and getting the support systems that we put in place. The board had to go against the commission in order to make that happen, and I think we all agree that that's one of the best things that could have happened to our entire commission and to you being able to really do the things that you do so well. And what's frustrating to me is it appears that over not getting their way on one appointment, that we have a couple commissioners who are also, a couple former commissioners, who are also reaching for kind of the kitchen sink mentality to throw a bunch of other stuff up. And it's not even remotely accurate.
Let me clean some of that up, or just kind of add on to what Rick said. I don't think any of this is about the office move or about where the office is. I'm not interested in moving the office. I don't think any of the commissioners are interested in it. Everything's working fine. The full support from the Board of Supervisors has always been in place for our programs. I don't care who's on the Board of Supervisors. It's always been 100% behind us on whatever we want to do on that. So we're doing a lot of outreach. We'll get support of that, and I believe, I'm not sure Linda knows about our outreach that we do just yet, but both of you have been there. You've seen our outreach firsthand. I didn't have to tell you about it. I don't think we have two commissioners. This is the first time in 20 years I've had anybody resign, much less two, effective on the same day. So I think there's definitely a communication problem between the commission and the board. Maybe. I'm just guessing, really. I'm down here taking care of veterans. Aaron and I are seeing veterans every day, keeping the doors open and doing that kind of thing. But to have two highly respected individuals, a lot of service between the two of them, a lot of motivation between the two of them on taking care of veterans. Whether they're a commissioner or not, they're still going to be talking to veterans and referring them to the office. I have no doubt about that. As well as a lot of our other past commissioners. They continue on with that. But to have two all of a sudden at one time, what is the problem? There is, what's going on?
When the commission says to you, says, Brett, will you communicate something to the supervisors? I don't know if that happens, or is that how it usually works? Or is it if a commissioner wants to say something, they come directly to a board member of the supervisor?
There's only four times a year when I give the quarterly report that I'm communicating with the Board of Supervisors, okay, as far as that goes. But it normally went the other way, where the chair of the commission can talk with the chair of the Board of Supervisors.
Okay.
And that used to be, I don't know when that stopped, but that happened. I know when Pat was the chair, that happened. Maybe Rick was the chair at that time. So at that time, Pat and Rick, could stop up here and say, hey, Rick, here's
what's happened with Terry. It happened
what's going
with,
on. And
nothing changed in that.
So I don't know if that's going on. If that's happening now, was that happening in 2018? I don't know. But anyway, I would suggest that would happen now, that the chair, and it doesn't have to be monthly, but maybe quarterly or every couple of months, just to keep that good communication, because they are your appointees, and I would think you'd want to communicate to all of your commission, maybe all of your commission chairs that way, so they can communicate with the other commissioners on those boards. Just a thought, just an idea.
So as I see where a point of maybe communication to come all the way to the previous board, okay, and I'm not sure if this was even communicated to Supervisor Sanders up front, but there was a feeling or there was some impression among some of the 2018 Veterans Affairs Commissioners that people who held a high rank in the service might not fit as well as other enlisted people who are the members of the commission right now. Now, I've not been in the military, so I don't know. It's only what I've heard from others and watching movies, etc., about how rank factors in. But so having not known that, as supervisors, we go out and we're seeking nominees.
Yeah,
okay. That's one thing I'm wondering where that communication got lost. Or I misunderstood.
I think we're speculating a lot right now about what might have been the problem, where did it come from, and rather than continue to try to speculate and put Brett on the spot about that, I see that one of the former commissioners is here, and maybe another one is, and I've not met him before, but I would wonder, could we give about 5 minutes to them to explain to us what they think the problem is?
I was just getting ready, and that's a great suggestion. So sounds good. Are we kind of done with Deb and Brett at the point of time?
I don't know that I mentioned this, but, I mean, just to make this point, the code does say we can have 3 or 5. Right now we have 3. So, board, you're within the code, but that's doing the minimum. We're doing the minimum, the number of 3. as of today, that's what we have. So I just want you to know that.
Right. I think Deb laid out why the expansion to 5 occurred, so that would be a separate, I guess, agenda item to address at a different time if we're looking at actually changing the number of commissioners. So as a wrong process is what we're focused on, communication. So,
And I don't know if you did expand the 5, you got to do that 1 or 2 years and 1 for 3.
Probably.
I don't know because we currently had 5. I don't know that you'd have to
Brett,
do that.
I don't know when you're ahead of us, okay,
so.
Of where we might even want to go. But okay.
Okay.
So anything else related to process, related to communication, which is a part of process?
Yeah, I do want to add to the communication. You know, in addition to what Brett talked about in terms of the quarterly report, and there are usually commissioners here that participate in that that quarterly report to the Board of Supervisors, the budget work sessions, we always have most of the commissioners that show up and participate in that, and I know they're actively involved in helping Brett set the budget and present that to the Board of Supervisors. I'm just thinking of opportunities and times when there is that interaction between the board and the commission. The outreach events, we see that interaction happen there. We've had quarterly meetings between the board chair and the VA commission. And I know late last summer, early fall, there were at least 3 different meetings where myself, Alyssa Wignall, Brett, and Aaron Rewertz met with Lynn Lathrop to talk about some changes that the commission wanted to talk about with regards to additional outreach activities and how much staff time that was going to take and what kinds of things could be put in place to allow that to happen. So I feel that there's been ongoing communication, and I know after each interview that we had in November into December, the board supervisor's chair would always ask the commission chair, how are things going? Is there anything you need from us? Do you need to come to the board and talk to the board about anything? And we always said, things are going great. Thanks for your support. So I don't know where the hiccup occurred, but, you know, I am totally dedicated and willing to move forward to improve the areas that we need to improve and take a look at processes if that's where the Board of Supervisors chooses to go.
Yeah, so just one question for you, and this is almost a rhetorical question, Deb, but is there another one of the boards and commissions that we appoint that has more regular and collective contact with collectively the Board of Supervisors than our VA Commission.
I would say the VA Commission has the most communication. Yeah, when I think of the other boards and commissions. Yeah.
I'd like you to go back to that discussion that you had about what the commission wanted to do for outreach. And then a meeting set up with staff about what was possible to do given the staffing resources. Mm-hmm. That sounds like what, okay. So I just know that I never heard that that meeting occurred. And did the Board of Supervisors ever know that the meeting occurred? Or was the chairman told either?
Sure, I was aware that it occurred, but this was a staff-level discussion talking about staff resources, all of which report through Deb Shildroth or Alyssa Wignall.
Okay, just wanted to be very clear about where that went. And then was that discussion of satisfaction to the commission members? And I've asked that weirdly. Let me re-ask it, okay? So with what was designed with the group working together and taken back, was it taken back to the VA commission? And then did the VA commission get an opportunity to comment on it?
I'm going to defer to Brett to respond to that.
Well, our commission chair was at that meeting. Basically, it was, let's do a time allocation study. So we've stepped back to do that. But me being me needs to move forward. And so November the 14th, I did my first one. Because I think it's a good outreach. So it's kind of like a pilot program. Mm-hmm. Let's go out and do this. And they explain to what this is. This is going to each city doing outreach in their home, in the veteran's hometown. So in Little Zering, Iowa, I show up for 4 hours and see 7 veterans. Mm-hmm. Wow, this is working out pretty good. But if you're going to have an employee out of the office more, doing outreach, which in turn is going to bring more people to the office. You need people at the office that can serve them when they show up, too, you know. So it's that kind of a thing. So we're just kind of doing an allocation of my time, an allocation of Aaron's time. I don't know if we're going to do this for 6 months, but we've done it for 3.
So we didn't. Oh, no. So there was a response. There was follow-up. Okay, and there's a process to determine how that goes.
Yeah, and that meeting was September 28th.
Okay,
when we started all, we kind of started all that, and we haven't met since then.
We met on August 3rd, August 17th, and September 28th, and then we've had email communication in between.
Is
there now anyone from the VA Commission or former VA members here who recently resigned that would like to come up and talk to us, address what was put in email or what was said kind of verbally to a couple of one former supervisor myself? Would you like to expand on this? You both can come up and take turns as long as you don't talk over each other. Good morning.
Good morning.
I will defer to the former chairman to start, and then I'll fill in.
I don't know where all of this...
Lynn
Lathrop. Do you need this in front of me?
That's where it works.
All right. I think it started out with bringing a... high-ranking officer on board. We had a meeting with a candidate, and then it was talked about bringing this officer on board after the meeting we had with another candidate that same day. And I voiced my opinion on it, and I struggle with this because, you know, anything can happen. Somebody can come on board, and we've seen it on our board, where we think that this gentleman has got all the experience in the world, but is the biggest roadblock we've had with Veterans Affairs. And I could see this not going well. And I said as much to Rick and to Deb. And there was going to be a meeting with the Admiral and then come back with recommendations or whatever after that point. Then we re-interviewed Terry to sit on the board for another three, and that happened. And it was brought up at that time, again, in passing, that we're going to go forward with the Admiral. If we had no other, you know, anything else to bring up at this time that would exclude her, we want to stay gender balanced if we can. But
it's the
whole,
law.
Pardon me?
It's the law, Lynn. I just want to point out, if we can, it's the law. Okay.
Yes, but it is also our direction as a commission to pick the best qualified. During that meeting, I think it was myself or Terry, opened it up and said, well, let's open it up for another round and see what kind of people we can get in the community. And that was kind of, well, we didn't go forward with that. I'll put it that way.
Correct.
So then the appointment or the recommendation from the Board of Supervisors come up, and here we go. I didn't think that it had to be pushed through so quickly. I had not met this lady. Nobody on the board had, or Brett, and to review and to talk. To say, this is what we expect. You're one of five, and I know this lady has had a lot of command experience, and how that can get awkward for her and the board, because I heard that she was a hard charger and she would.
Okay, and we need to really back off from characterizations here. I know you want to give us an explanation about what's happening, but I want to point out this is not about, it really is not about this nominee, okay, who is now appointed to the commission. It really isn't.
It was about how it was appointed.
It was about how it was appointed.
So let's go through that. Let's go through that just a minute. And let me start with this. So I think the world of Terry and Lynn. I think, Terry served as chair for the commission at a point where we went through some really tough situations, and Terry was outstanding. In fact, all five of our commission members are phenomenal. I just want to fill in some of the gaps that Lynn had when we talked through our meeting. So we did, in fact, have three applications for two spots. One of them was Terry applying for reappointment, and then two others that applied. The three of us, Lynn, myself, and Deb Shildroth, interviewed one of the other applicants, and it became apparent to all three of us pretty quickly that other applicant was not qualified to be on the VA commission. In fact, looking into it a little further, I don't believe they're even eligible to be on the VA commission.
Turned out not to be.
But the three of us agreed. And at that point, the three of us, including Lynn, the chair of the commission, had a conversation where Lynn expressed, and did a great job expressing, his concerns about what a different applicant, especially with the experience that this third applicant has, would bring to the commission. And so I agreed at that point that I would go have the conversation with this third applicant of whether they understood what the role was and what the expectations were. But I also made clear to Lynn at that point, if this third applicant is interested in being on the commission, now we're down to two acceptable applicants for two positions. And while, Terry, while I appreciate this idea that we're just going to extend or reopen or anything like that, how do you do that when you have two applicants, you and another person, that are extremely qualified, overly qualified? So I went and I had the meeting with this third applicant. I expressed to the third applicant exactly what was involved and what the expectations were and, frankly, what the concerns were. And agreed that getting this appointment done So the applicant indicated, yes, all in, understand what it is. I asked if she could manage her schedule in a way that would allow her to be present. She said, absolutely, if I'm given notice, I'll absolutely make the commission a priority. And I said, okay, well, then I'm going to take this back to the Board of Supervisors as a recommendation, but here's where we are. We got 6 months before the appointment will take effect. In those 6 months, it's going to be incumbent upon the applicant and the commission to get to know each other and make sure everything is going to work and everything is going to fit. And if we find during that 6 months before the appointment takes effect that for whatever reason, not blaming anybody, it's not going to work, it's going to be detrimental to what we're trying to do, then we'll have the conversation again. And the applicant absolutely agreed with that, thought it was a great idea, thought it was a great way forward. And so I viewed it just the opposite of you guys. I thought making the appointment when we made it, with plenty of window for this new applicant to get to know the commission, to get to understand how the commission works, was exactly right. And if the two of you are sitting here because you don't like the appointment or some idea of the process, the way it worked, that's great with me. What bothered me and what I expressed earlier is that's not exactly what you said. You made it bigger and broader than this instance. And that's where I take exception.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
So there were three applicants. I think I'm hearing that the process was different for one applicant.
Only
for two?
Yes. Only because when it came down to just two applicants for two positions, and both applicants are eminently qualified, no different than it would have been had we only had two applicants for two positions. When the third applicant, Linda, was deemed not qualified, and then ultimately, this is after the fact, right, deemed not qualified before we found out that maybe they weren't eligible, we went to two applicants, two qualified applicants for two positions.
Okay. Did the commission recommend?
We knew nothing about this person. We still don't.
I'm sorry. Let me finish my question. Did the commission recommend your reappointment?
Yes. No. No, I mean, there were individual letters of recommendation from commission members, but to my knowledge, the commission never took a formal action to recommend anything to the board.
We haven't met since that appointment. We've met
prior to, Terry.
Okay, so there was not necessarily, the commission did not meet and forward a recommendation to the supervisors for your reappointment. Okay. I have no question that this was done legally because the Board of Supervisors is the appointing authority. If there were different processes used for different applicants, I think that's something that we as a board need to look at, maybe not just for this process, but for all of the appointments that we make. And that's why I asked that question. You know, I just kind of wanted to know. And if it appears like the process for some reasons was different than what you expected and had been done for several years. No. Then I'd have to go back and what Brett said was that forever.
Yeah, so just go through, just for clarification.
Unless you're going to clarify.
I was going to clarify what she's saying, if that's okay. So what it was the Board of Supervisors would accept a recommendation. This is not only for the VA Commission. This is several other boards and commissions. Would take the recommendation of the existing members of that board or commission and make that appointment. That changed in 2014 when the board said, no, we want to have the hand in this. We'll take input from other entities, but it's the Board of Supervisors making the decision. That changed again in 2017 for a short time for actually Lynn's appointment on the VA Commission, and then the board determined that that's not the direction we wanted to go at that point, and we went back to the system that we were using in 2014.
When did the board discontinue taking recommendations from the Veterans Commission?
2014. And that's bigger than Veterans Commission. That's boards and commissions in general.
Okay, but you did allow at that point the chair or Brett to sit in on the interviews that you and Deb did. So,
and did this time as well.
And did this time.
Mm-hmm. With the
all of them?
Exception, no, I think that's what you're asking.
Yeah, with the
exception of the candidate.
When we have had the same number of applicants as we had open positions, yeah, we run it a little differently. We don't put on a huge dog and pony show. We make sure that it's a known applicant, that we've got some idea of what's going on, and then we make the recommendation. And what changed with the VA Commission between interviews, between that second interview and the appointment of the third applicant is we went from having three viable candidates for two spots to having two viable candidates for two spots.
I'm thinking that, and this goes past the Veterans Commission, but I understand your concerns and your folks. You've served our country, you want to keep serving veterans, and the motivation is great. I understand that. And I hate to bring it back to a larger kind of arena of all commissions, but I'm going to. Because I think that we do need to make sure that our processes and those questions are answered in advance. Because I think when we don't have a process clearly set down, then questions may come up. And if we had had a process that said, if there are only two applicants, we don't do that, maybe that would have appeared a little differently. And to these gentlemen, I'm not sure. And I see Terry wants to ask a question.
Yeah, I would like to just clarify. That's what we're doing here
today. I didn't say, can we have a little bit of time? I mean, you guys are discussing things yet, too, and it seems to be repetitive. I go back 5 years. When I started on the commission interviewed me and recommended to the board. A little while later, that all changed. The applicants stood before this board in public and were interviewed. Then it changed to the board just interviewing the people and telling us who they were.
Well, the board wasn't interviewing. Sorry, Terry. I just want to make that very clear. The chair of the board and a staff member was interviewing.
I wasn't at them because I wasn't invited, so I was chairman at that time. Then it went to... we weren't included in any of this, and they were changing it to the board, chairman, whoever, would interview all the people, all the applicants, and they recommended this is what they were going to do. We had no say in it. This last one, we've not seen in favor. It's our job to vet the person and make sure they're a qualified person. We're military people, and to understand a military person, I'm sure there's some veterans in the audience, to understand a military person, we're taught. And I was in 30 years in the Air Force, Air National Guard. Lynn spent a lot of time in the Marines. When we see something in writing, we believe that's the way it's supposed to be. 35B, there's three things there. I'm just saying there's some things in there that need to be discussed and rediscussed because I asked the county attorney for help, and I got an email back saying, don't do that again. I took it as a threat. That's one of the reasons why I'm resigning. I'm too old to spend any time with the sheriff.
I'd like to, as you're right, in kind of moving forward.
That's not the only thing, ma'am.
I understand that. I'd just like to ask the county attorney very quickly if she'd like to respond to what you said about the threat. And then we're going to come back. Okay, but I'd like to kind of deal with these issues. What are time? Jessica.
Good morning. I'm Jessica Reynolds. I'm the Story County Attorney. I would like to respond to that because that is not at all what happened. I was forwarded some emails of the Veterans Affairs Commission that were going back and forth, and Deb Sheldroth forwarded those to me to respond to them because the commission was going back and forth and saying that the appointment of Ms. Gregory was unlawful. And actually, it was not unlawful. It complied with Iowa Code 35B. So I responded to the entire commission, and I said in that email that there appeared to be hurt feelings, and I was sorry to hear that, However, the Board of Supervisors had fully complied with the law in the appointment of Ms. Gregory. And the reason is that the Iowa Code provides that the Board of Supervisors have consultation with the Commission. That does not say that they have to be involved in the interview process, and that does not say that the Board of Supervisors has to agree that we shouldn't be appointing officers on the Commission. In fact, I think there's a lot of good reasons to appoint officers, especially when they're qualified. So I put that in writing. I have that and can provide that to anyone who has concerns. I threatened nobody in any fashion, and I'll provide those emails to the
board. I have my emails with me, and I took it as a threat. I'm sorry. That's the way I took it to me personally.
You took it as a threat that I said that the board complied with the law?
No. That if I... We should not accuse the board of breaking the law, and that's
I was asking you for help
as a county attorney.
No,
we're part of the county too.
You didn't forward that to me. That was forwarded to me by Deb Shildreth, and it was the commission going back and forth and making accusations of illegalities by the Board of Supervisors. The Board of Supervisors is my client. They did nothing illegal.
But we're not your client.
I have concerns about false accusations of illegal behavior, and I will always protect my client and the citizens, and they did nothing illegal. If you took that as a threat, it was not meant as a threat.
I asked for your help, and it turned out this way. I'm sorry. I apologize.
You didn't get the answer you wanted because the Board of Supervisors didn't do anything illegal. That's not a threat.
I talked to you in the hallway and said I asked for your help trying to get this fixed rather than us having to resign to get
Madam
some
Chair.
Attention.
Yes. Our agenda meeting is talking about the process
and
in
I'm
general, not
back.
About this. So I'm just going to suggest that if we can move forward, I'm glad you asked the county attorney to respond to what Mr. Greenfield said. But if it's okay, we'll see for that. Let's get back to the process.
Yes, and I'd like to get back to the process. Thank you.
Thank you.
County attorney.
The main thing, a lot of this stems back to the military mind. We read black and white, and that's what we believe we have to do. Not... If you want to, you can abide by this. If you don't want to, you don't have to. Way back in 4 years ago, when this kind of started, the organization chart changed. The commission was right under the board. We answered to the board, not to a department head or anybody else. Now we're answering to Brett. It looks like Brett is our boss. It's upside down.
Is that visually, you're saying, when we look at that chart, visually, is it just look like that? Or are you saying that's really what's happened that Brett now tells you what to do rather than you tell Brett what to do?
We basically work together. We don't really tell each other what to do on certain questions Brett asks us. But then we work as a team. We're a good team.
Okay.
And I'm sorry to have to break that up because I can't serve in this position with the way I feel inside. I'm not a politician. I say it like it is. And if that's it doesn't go along with the way the commission feels or the way the board feels, then I'm just a stumbling block. So I need to get back out. We need to change that again. That's by 35B. I guess I'm not supposed to even say that, but
that's fine. And 35B explain. Oh, you're not. I was just going to say 35B lays out what has to happen, and I think County Attorney Reynolds
said it up. But if we're not going to pay attention to it, why do we even? Let's just not pay attention to it at all.
So,
not even evidence.
So what I'm hearing is that we're back to process once again, and the process in what consultation is. I think that is what I'm hearing the core of this is. When you came in, Mr. Greenfield, be respectful, thank you, and you talked to former Supervisor Chitty and myself, I threw out an idea, and I'd like to throw this idea out because it's process related and seems to address maybe somewhere where we might be able to move forward. And that would be that for the VA Commission only at this point, that all three supervisors would independently, separately, interview applicants, and any member of the VA Commission could attend any one of those three interviews,
could not have a quorum. Don't want to get into that problem, right? So two massive women that would come. And then feedback could be provided to the VA commission. That's a feedback. That is not a you say yes or no to anybody. You say a preference. And it's up to you, the VA commission, whether you decide to hold a special meeting to have that discussion or whether you choose individually to provide your feedback on the applicants. Supervisors would not be discussing it until it came time for the appointment. The chair would still make a recommendation based on feedback. But as it happens now, even with the chair being the only supervisor involved, it still came down to, on December 18th, had this former supervisor Chitty or myself not already known the applicant, we could have stopped the process or said no, you know, but we didn't, because this is a situation where we all happen to have had experiences with the applicant. So we had faith in the applicant. But I hear, you know, you feel it didn't follow just the same way. So I'm throwing that out as a possibility of how, for the VA commission, we could address what I hear are some of the major concerns about process.
Leave it to my two fellow supervisors for feedback.
The wiring diagram needs to be changed too, I'm sorry. And that would have to be up to the current commission. We're no longer commissioners. We would not have.
And I actually throw it to back here.
Okay. I think that's an interesting idea. But how many commissions and boards do we have?
This is for the VA commission only.
I know. And what I'm concerned about is that we might, if we make a decision for the VA commission only, that we might end up with different processes for different boards and commissions. And I understand what you're saying, and I appreciate it. But I would rather look back at our process at this point and do it quickly. You know, but look back at our process with two things, two goals in mind. One is picking the best qualified applicant and how that is determined. The second one is a transparent process so that people can look at it and not say, I think there was favoritism or I think somebody did or whatever. A transparent process, you can say, here it is in black and white. And I would rather do that. I realize there may be different things for the VA commission and for other commissions because there's things in statute. So we would have to take into account, is there an exception? Is something done differently for the VA commission because 35B says the consultation, and what does that mean? But I would just rather start with a template for all commissions and boards and then modify it as we would need to for statute.
Okay.
And that takes longer than deciding we're going to do this right now. But I think we might end up with something that could work better for all our commissions and boards. I don't want to do them piecemeal.
Okay.
Hey, can I add to, I think this is an important piece of the current process that I want the full board to know and understand. What I do when I get applications for boards and commissions is I forward those applications to you. So you get all of those applications. In the case of the VA commission, I forwarded the applications to the VA chair, the commission chair. So that information is disseminated. So there's at least that profile of that individual, so they know, you know, who it is. And then that's been giving the board the opportunity to reach out to the individual during the interviewing process or shortly thereafter. So that's we've been sharing information and keeping it transparent that way.
Yep. So I agree with Linda. And I'll just say this. I think we should start with a deep dive on what our current process is and why it works or doesn't, and then make alterations based on that. Here's the reality of our current process. Our current process is the same for all our boards and commissions. It meets the law for the various boards and commissions, and it is streamlined enough that we can actually get to a decision. I'm comfortable with that continuing, but I think we start with a deep dive on what our current process is and then a discussion of what, if any, modifications we might want to make to that, and would that keep us in compliance with all the laws and regulations?
Okay. All right. So there's no appetite for the board to deal with processes in the VA separately right now as far as it comes to the appointment process. I see we have couple of the commissioners from that are still sitting on the board, and I'd like to give them an opportunity to speak, to have feedback about anything that's been discussed so far or the process before we kind of move on and I think maybe wrap this up.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the time that you've taken this morning. I listened to what the commission has to say, and I bring that forward, usually through Deb, but definitely she knows about it, and so does Brett. And there have been some concerns that some of the issues that the board has, or the commission, VA commission, doesn't get to you. I don't know that. I'm just shooting that to you because it's been brought to my attention that always before they could go directly to you. Mm-hmm. Being good military people, you follow the chain of command, and that is Deb. And then Deb to you. So if it's going to change, make sure that you do something with this that allows the commission to come directly to you. And again, I'm just passing this on as some other concerned commissioners or board members.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Because, no, I had not been aware of some of this, but that I like what you said about being from the military, the chain of command is to send it up. And so it sounds like that would be a discussion for us about just what exactly is getting up to us and, you know, and what would we like to hear. So thank you, Mitch. Okay.
Excuse me. Before we had the change in wiring diagram, we did meet with the chair of the Board of Supervisors on a quarterly basis. I did that. I met with Mr. Sanders on a quarterly basis. That worked really well. Things went well. All I ask is, you know, we've told you where the problems are, what reasons why we don't feel that we can serve on the board in a proper fashion, feeling that things are not being done the way they should be done. And again, as military people, we think one way. We can compromise, but this is way out of the realm of being compromised. So I ask that you accept my resignation, and good luck.
Okay.
And if anything changes back to the way it was, and you think that I might be of value, I would reconsider coming back. But until those changes are made, I can't consider.
Thank you. Okay. All right. I'm going to re-extend one more time. Thank you both for taking the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to extend back my invitation if either one of the sitting commissioners want to make comment before we bring it back to the board for final wrap-up. You're sending Brett back up. All right. Welcome back, Brett. Okay.
I told him I would go up with them. I really didn't want to talk today, honestly. One recommendation I would like to see changed is when an application, now this is different because we're dealing with DD-214s. As your veteran professional, I would just love to be able to look at the application and the DD-214 when it's received.
I hear that because that ended up being the issue with the other candidate, yeah. The third candidate. I do understand that. Thank you for that.
You know, then I can look and say, hey, because if you don't have that in place, it could happen sometime in the future. Mm-hmm. You appoint somebody that isn't eligible. So, anyway, that's one thing I was going to add.
Okay.
Any other questions that you have?
None.
Yeah, so I would just say this. We have two openings on our VA commission. I would suggest we publish those openings as soon as possible and start to move through the process. It's our current process until and unless we change it. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing I would say is to the commission, you guys need to get reorganized. You're going to have to elect a new chair and start to move forward in this interim while we figure out what appointments look like and who they're going to be.
Correct.
We also have the planning and zoning. I am going to just briefly point out that we have another appointment that will have to be made soon. So we will take a look at trying to get that on based on some other agenda items that I know will be coming forward on the 15th and the 22nd. Let's plan on the 29th for a discussion, if that's agreeable to the two of you, about boards and commissions, appointments, and the process with that and in general. In the meantime, I'm going to throw out one more thing to the board here. Would the other two members of the board be favorable if we had some type of rotation system where we went out to visit with the commission on maybe a quarterly basis? Is that something that I'd be willing to participate in? Would that be something that the other two members would be interested in? Or would you like to maybe just leave it to the board chair?
Yes.
Personally, for myself, I would just assume leave it to the board chair. I've got a lot to learn. I'll be going to a lot of meetings. And
right, but and I'll just point out this. I think it belongs with the board chair. But not circumventing staff. And then the second thing I would say is we already have the opportunity. If any of us decides we want to go meet with any of our boards and commissions, we already have that opportunity. And we should avail ourselves of it as we see fit.
All right.
We have a posted monthly meeting.
Isn't it usually Tuesday at 11 o'clock?
Well, it's never.
Well,
it's not in stone. They actually, the commission decides their next monthly meeting at their monthly meeting. So it's not in stone on a certain day, but it is in stone on a certain time, 11:30.
Okay.
And it is at our office in the conference room.
So if I or another supervisor said, hey, I'd like to come and chat, then. Yeah. But we're going to need a different day than Tuesday, because Tuesday is definitely
not. We can work
We can work
around that and not have it on a Tuesday.
Okay. I see Commissioner Pinkin has got that.
Thank you for your time today and to hear the concerns of the two commissioners that turn in their resignations, and that give us a little time to get reorganized and decide what and how we're going to move forward and work together again.
Okay, great. And I believe staff heard. I see that. Oh, here it is. About getting the two openings, the vacancies posted. Okay.
And also, I want to thank Pat for being our intern chair.
Oh, thank you. So, yes.
Hey, gets bigger, right?
Thanks everybody for your time.
And Madam Chair, there's something for you to consider. So we already have an appointment of Kate Gregory to be effective on July 1st.
Correct.
I think it'd be worth it to this board to consider moving that date up to as soon as possible, because there's nothing that I'm aware of that precludes us from going ahead and making her appointment effective as soon as possible to get us back to four commission members.
Could we get back to you after our January meeting and make a decision? Do we want to go back to three or go stay at
five?
The only thing I would say to that is it's either three or five, not four.
Yeah, but you can have an opening. It's five. It's not. So there is no gray area. We are five commission members until and unless the Board of Supervisors decides to take it to three. We just happen to be five with only three serving members right now. There's nothing that I'm aware of, and I'm looking at County Attorney Reynolds, that precludes us from reappointing to four. We've been four multiple times in the past. After Jennifer put in her resignation, we were four for a time until we appointed Rusty, right? And it just seems to me it's worth the board discussing, now that we've already appointed Kate, do we just move her effective date up?
Thank you for that, Supervisor Sanders. It actually was in my mental list to talk about that. So I personally agree with Supervisor Sanders that it's a good option to keep going. Supervisor Merkin, do you feel comfortable with at least keeping it to five for the present and appointing her, which would, in fact, probably keep us at five?
Well, it would have to keep us at five because we would have the obligation
to fill the other
position.
The other position.
If we're comfortable with it.
Okay. All right. In that case.
And just one more thought, Supervisor Olson. You're going to need to control our agenda however you see fit. I would encourage you that don't wait till the 29th on the basis of time constraints. if this is something that can be dealt with sooner, it seems to me that it's worth us dealing with this as soon as you can reasonably get it on our agenda.
Okay, thank you with that. Okay, I'll look in the...
do we need a motion on any of this other than changing the...
We're not changing the process.
We're not changing
the appointment. Putting the appointment up, do we need a motion?
We can't do that today. It's not on here.
But
that will have to
go on
later.
January 8th or the
Whenever
January 8th.
You put it on.
As a consent item.
But in terms of us looking at our internal process, we don't need a motion. We have agreement. We're going to look at the process.
Just
direction to our chair that she's going to bring it back to us for consideration. And I would encourage one other thing, Chair, as you say consent agenda on January 8th, just be aware that Admiral Gregory is under the belief that her appointment doesn't start until July 1st. I don't know what her calendar looks like between now and then. It would just be nice if somebody would reach out to her.
I will do that. Thank you. Okay. Once again, thank you. Thank you for everyone. Palettes, too, if this wasn't your particular agenda item.
And let's go ahead and let's move forward.
And the next item, and I go to here, discussion and consideration of Resolution 1958, the 2019 Central Iowa Regional Transportation Planning Alliance appointments. When I put out the chart for Agenda Item 9-4, which it did include the appointments for the Central Iowa Regional, it's called CERTPA. All right, to use the abbreviation, not realizing that there was a resolution needed. So I'd like to go ahead and nominations to go ahead and fill that now. So on the recommendations under item 4, the recommendations are listed in items 10 and 11. Under number 4. So, policy committee recommendation is myself with Rick Sanders as the alternate. The technical committee has Darren Moon with Tyler Sparks, the assistant county engineer, as the alternate.
Yeah, so I'll move resolution 1958 as recommended by the board chair.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Sanders?
Aye.
And Murphy?
Aye.
All right. And Olson? Aye. Thank you. That's passed, and that takes care of that. Item number 3 is a bit of housekeeping. Item number 3 is about the Board of Health. As we were looking at appointments for 2019 boards and commissions, there also I had really pushed and looked for candidates, as had other people, to have the gender balance law make sure we were in compliance. And we were fortunate to have more than enough qualified candidates. And so from that came up a discussion about ways to keep gender balance to get gender balance on the Board of Health, because it was not currently balanced according to the state law. And then what options would we have? The law itself, state law, does not require us to keep the commission at 5 members. It also, for the Board of Health, does not require us to have a board of supervisor or a supervisor hold one of the seats. And as a result of that, kind of discussion just gets going about should a supervisor actually be sitting on the Board of Health. And from there, then, if we want a supervisor on the Board of Health, should it be an ex officio or should it be a voting member? I went and spoke to the Board of Health, and I believe it was early December, talked to them about options, asked what they wanted, and the board came back and said they would prefer that there be a voting supervisor on the board.
And that's their preference. So I'd like to know, given the fact that we have the opportunity to either appoint a civilian who is a well-qualified civilian, she's a female, so she could fill a slot that would allow us to have gender balance on a 5-member board, or we could go ahead and have a 5-member board with a supervisor filling a slot, which would be one of us. Okay, the two, I'm sorry, Supervisor Sanders, but you're not going to qualify if we keep the gender balance going. Or we could also appoint the civilian and keep a supervisor as an ex officio, similar to what we do with conservation. Any thoughts?
I believe Board of Health is our only remaining board or commission that has a supervisor with voting rights on it. I think that it was a good thing when Story County started to move away from having Board of Supervisor members, in essence, take two bites of the apple with issues that ultimately come before, or in many cases, ultimately become before the board. I'm our ex officio member on conservation. I think there is real value in that without having a vote and letting the commission do its work, the conservation board, and knowing the quality of the applicant that we have sitting there available to serve on the Board of Health, I come down that I would prefer to see us give up our one voting member on the Board of Health, let the Board of Health do what statutorily they're supposed to do, and we statutorily do what we're supposed to do.
Thank you.
I think I'm in agreement with that. I'm not sure what the reasons were with the Board of Health said they wanted to continue having the supervisor voting. Maybe they just didn't want to offend us. I don't know, but I think it would be incumbent upon us that whoever is if we go the ex officio route, that we make very darn sure to make those meetings and make them understand that because we're not voting members, it doesn't mean we aren't interested and supportive. So I would go with the ex officio.
Right. I also favor that option myself, but I did want to make it very clear what they had requested. There was a bit of discussion about whether there was some kind of legal connection between the supervisors and the Board of Health that required a supervisor to sit on that. I checked both with Keith Morgan from Emergency Management because Supervisor Chitty thought that might be where it was at. It was not. And then I spoke to Ethan Anderson about this also. So we have no legal restrictions from breaking away from a supervisor sitting on there. So with that, I would take a motion.
Yeah, I would move that we give up our voting membership on the Board of Health and move to an ex officio position.
Okay. Second. Okay. Any more discussion? Supervisor Sanders?
Aye.
And Supervisor Murphy? Olson? Aye. Thank you. Okay, we are now to item number 4, which are the committee assignments for the supervisors for 2019. And to prepare for this, I took work that had previously been done by County Attorney Jessica Reynolds, and also by External Director of Operations Deb Shildroff, and I put it into a chart format. I'd like to point out that there is a small problem with my chart where it shows county attorney comments as of 12/28 should be 16, not 18. Okay, thank you for that. So then I put out what was a proposed listing. Already, I believe there have been a couple of changes that people believe should make some switches. And then also for discussion. Let me ask, how would you like to do this? Would you like to just discuss the changes and then have one motion for everything that's fine and another one for the changes? Or do you want to go down and discuss them as they are listed on the agenda form as numbers 1, 2, 3, 4? What is your pleasure?
Well, I don't know how it's normally done, but I would not be opposed to us discussing the changes and then doing one motion.
Okay.
Okay, so if it's okay, I'll go first.
Yes.
Item number two, the Ames Assessor Mini Board. I would propose that Loris, you be our representative and I be the alternate.
Okay, and that's agreeable with me.
Then I skip down to number six, and I would just note that the action we just took makes Board of Health ex officio, and then I'm in agreement that it's Loris Olson with Linda Merkin as the alternate as a, in an ex officio capacity. Then I skip down to number 12, and there is no alternate for the Central Iowa Region 11 Workforce Development CEO Board. That's a governor's appointee. We don't have an alternate there.
Got it. We'll eliminate that.
That's number 12.
12, eliminate me as the alternate.
And then the final thing I would like us to talk about is, and maybe this is for another meeting, but if we're going to have the conversation at another meeting, it might be worth it. To hold off on these two appointments, and that's Safety Committee and Wellness Committee, number 20 and number 26. I think it was fully appropriate and necessary that the board have a leadership position on those two committees. Now with recent hires in the last year and a half or so, I don't think it's as necessary. Again, I get back to letting the committees do their work with items that we're going to have to decide on later on. And so I'm proposing that the two of you consider that we not have representation on the Safety Committee or the Wellness Committee.
And Linda, if you don't mind, I'll speak next on this. Having served on it for the last 2 years, I never felt I'd taken a leadership role. And what I did find very valuable about sitting on the committee was that I got to know employees from different departments that I might not have gotten to know otherwise. And I got to understand how the employees between different departments just get along and are able to come to some great ideas. So having no formal representation, certainly a legal, or well, at least a leadership role on it, I concur with, because I didn't take that either. In fact, they are both well-led, and the people who sit on these committees are great to watch them take their own initiative. I think it's good for you from a structural standpoint, as you did for me 2 years ago, is saying, hey, this is a way to get to know some people in the county quickly. I wasn't able to make every meeting. You're going to find you're going to have some conflicts once in a while. So
I think what I'm hearing is that we could take them off in terms of an official representative, but the newest person on the board should avail herself of the opportunity to meet staff through those that venue and also find out what they're doing and how the supervisors can be of help.
Sure.
And I can commit to doing that.
And I would just say avail yourself of that in every venue. There's real value in that.
Okay.
So was there another one? Central Iowa Juvenile Detention, did we talk about a change there?
No, because we had just finished up with Supervisor Sanders. Now let's go to Supervisor Merkin. We're taking off 20 and 26 as official appointments.
Okay.
So let's go back.
Supervisor Olson, we may have to dig in and take a look at their organizational documents and see if there's any changes that need to be made with the organizations of those committees. I don't know if it said anything about board supervisors.
Is that something that could ask? Okay, I see Alyssa's nodding, so that nod.
But it'll just have to come back to us later.
Just
a little
appointment
today.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, so yes, now let's go ahead and take a look at item number 9, Central Iowa Juvenile Detention Board. We're going to flip, we're going to remove Linda Merkin and add Loris Olson. And then down on the, I'm looking for the Story County E91 Board, number item 23. We're going to have still Paul Fitzgerald be the representative from the Board of Supervisors. I understand your chair also. Okay. And instead, Linda Merkin will be your alternate to attend when she's there. Okay?
And I would just say this to Linda, and I'd ask Paul to affirm this. I think generally that's one of those meetings where we've had our alternate attend wherever possible. Not having a vote with Paul there, but just to be aware of what's going on.
That's correct. This is a very...
Paul, I hate to ask you, but if you can come up and speak to the mic. Sorry. I became the ninth monitor.
Don't mean to drag this out, but I'm sure the board realizes how momentum this project is that 911 is working on right now. It's going to be a huge cost, and there's also, right when we get done with this, we will have FirstNet knocking on our door with the data programs coming in, and with the 911 board and the newly created StoryCom, which will help financing. This is huge. We need somebody, you know, to be there. And so... I would appreciate the alternate attending these meetings as well, to staying well ahead of the program and understanding what is going on.
Right. Now, well, and just briefly, you had asked me yesterday, later on in the agenda when we were talking about initiatives, interests, and areas of is when we'll talk about Supervisor Sanders continuing to be our point for StoryCom. StoryCom.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So this would be separate, but still having that knowledge.
Yes, right? Absolutely.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, those are the changes, as I understand. Anybody else? Any others?
Yes, so I'd make a motion that we adopt these with the amendments that we've noted.
Okay.
Second. Any further discussion? Sanders?
Aye.
Mervin?
Aye.
And Olson, aye. I'd like to also make note that on the chart, table one and table two, which were attachments on this agenda item, just as I laid out some other committees that either we are serving on by invitation or we have served on in the past, I also went ahead and laid out what type of committees that are being voluntarily served on, if you will, on table two, and kind of laid out what a distribution was of the various loads, and that would be on the next to last page for table one. And some people may know that Supervisor Sanders asked for a little bit of restriction in some of the items from the county. And I'm going to turn to him now and ask you, Rick, to explain what you're going to be doing here of some of your special committees that are affiliated with
that. Absolutely. So you didn't want to go to item five before we got to item six? I mean, is this interest items? That's where I had us doing this. You want
me? Oh, we can do it. Well, let's go down. Let's go ahead and move forward about what we've got item five, and then we'll go ahead and take care of item six. I got it. Okay.
Sure.
All right. So, item five, discussion and consideration of the board chair using this county's official YouTube channel and other social media for meeting previews, reviews, and other messages. In the last year, Supervisor Sanders had started up putting on short meeting reviews and previews. Actually, a preview comes before a review. And noting what had happened at every meeting for those people who are not interested in watching the 2.5 hour long tapes instead just getting the basics. And I did get some questions over the last year about, well, who approved that? And I got to thinking about it, and I thought it's probably not a bad idea as we move into 2019 is just make sure that everybody's on the same page, that this is a role that would be appropriate for the board chair to do. So with that, I'll open it up for discussion.
I would say not only is it appropriate, I think it's beneficial. Almost 100,000 views on the various forms of media, trying to break a 2.5 hour or in some cases 4 hour meeting down into 2 minutes and 20 seconds is a challenge. But it at least gives those citizens that are interested a mechanism to see if they want to spend their time watching or reviewing our meeting. I would encourage you to do it, Loris. I'm hesitant that we take formal action on this. I think you have the authority as board chair to do this. I would encourage you to continue to do it, and if we need to put it in motion form, I'll do that.
Okay. Supervisor Merkin.
I'm fine with it, and I don't think it needs a motion.
All right.
And just for clarification, I would also suggest that any of the three of us who want to put something up, now, understand, it can't be political in nature. It's got to be with the business of the county, We all have that right on our social media. Mm-hmm. But if one of us in our capacity wants to talk about something that's going on in the county, we ought to be able to do that. We are right now unless we take action.
I'm concerned about that. Maybe so then I am going to ask.
Well, I just read our IT policy. And just yesterday, and I can't quote it chapter and verse, but it did really talk about things that aren't official actions of the board. If you're doing something on social media, you need to have a disclaimer that says these are not necessarily positions of Stroy County. Mm-hmm. So I saw that, so that's kind of fresh in my mind, and I wonder how that might relate to this conversation.
Sure. To me, it's the difference between informational and opinion. If you're talking about something that is coming for discussion to the board or some kind of action that the board took, that's completely appropriate. If you're talking about your personal feelings of how something, what should happen or shouldn't happen, or trying to imply that any one of us on our own has official authority to do something, then it would be inappropriate.
And it's not necessarily how we view it. It's how other people might view it about one of us talking as a county supervisor about an issue. It's in the eyes of the beholder.
Yeah, this is the issue that I had hoped to avoid just with the motion, and is to say, okay, we're going to make this normal. There were also, I received comments throughout last year about the appropriateness of how some of the information was conveyed by you.
And your
perspective of that. And that really should not have appeared. The comments that I received from the public was that the dramatic nature of it, or sensationalistic, there were a variety of different words, were not appropriate what they expected for the official YouTube channel to be hosted.
Sure, and here's the beauty of that. There are somewhere in the neighborhood of 90 of those videos on our YouTube channel. I would just encourage you, if there is one of those situations, one, that you can find, bring it forward to us, because there's not.
It's not political. It is the use of portrayal about that. That is why I did feel that there's the other reason to put this in what is formal about who can and who can't use social media. Now, if you don't choose to do it this way, we can come back with the entire social media policy, and we can look at it from that standpoint about what is not appropriate for one supervisor to put on, whether it be for tone or topic.
So if you guys are trying to limit our ability to convey to the public what's going on in Story County, then yeah, we need to have that as a separate agenda item.
I think the trying to convey is to take the sensational and drama out of the post.
I just think let's just all review the policy we have.
Good.
And follow it. And if we have some problems, let's just talk with each other about, is this consistent with our policy?
Perfect. I'm all in on that.
So now, what we've got is, since we've not made a new decision today, we are aware that any one of us could go onto our social media channel, although only Supervisor Sanders, I believe. Do you have a login for it?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't have. You don't have a login.
I don't have a login to anything.
Yeah, okay. So right now, Supervisor Sanders could go and put on his own opinion of what happened at this meeting with his own flavor, his own perspective. That is what you're doing if we don't.
What we're doing is we're following our existing policy. There's
but
nothing on
I'm
here
trying
that
to
changes
change
our policy.
That.
Well, this doesn't say that you're changing our policy.
No, right it's now this gives me the authority to, I believe, post a factual just what, you know.
And I think you already have that authority. And I think if we pass this, it doesn't change the rest of our policy. If you want to change the policy, let's bring the policy forward and talk about that.
Okay, I will state, in the 2 years I've been a supervisor, I have never known that I had the ability to go in and put anything on the YouTube channel.
I sat in that chair and encouraged both you and Marty to put, if you wanted to follow along, when there was the first question about these meeting previews or reviews, I said to both of you in this set, you both have the same authority I do.
I'm going to meet with IT tomorrow to get my login and figure out what I can do. So that'll be one of my questions. okay? And I'll share the information I get with everybody.
Well, I will say the only thing I added at that time when I said that, Loris, was I'm not using any staff time at all to do this, and I think it would be inappropriate if we start burdening staff with trying to put something like this together.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I am going to now look down back, though, and I am going to talk about burdening staff about, I guess, all three of us having a login.
Sure. I think that's easy.
You need to have all three of us need the same login.
Sure.
So I'm going to look at the Director of Internal. I see Leanne Harder out there.
Mm-hmm.
Is her hand is out? Come on up, Leanne.
Just.
Oh, it'd be you. Okay, all right, thank you. Okay, so moving on then. Okay, now we are to item 6, which is discussion of supervisors, the interest areas, future initiatives, updates on what the current supervisors' projects are and interests are in. And I put this on the agenda to make sure that as Supervisor Merkin, for one thing, comes on, that she does know what already may be in the works and who's working on what. I know that when I came on to the board 2 years ago, it was frustrating sometimes to know who already was working on what, who. I think there were a couple instances where one supervisor I found was tripping over the other supervisor. There were instructions given to staff that may have been contrary to what one or the other expected. So this is a good place to start, and I'll go ahead and I'll start, move to Supervisor Sanders, and I'm going to ask you start, and maybe we can start with the StoryCom project and other things that you'll be working on.
Absolutely, but before I get to that, I've got to address what you just said. So none of the three of us have the authority to give instructions to staff. All three of us have the authority to work on any initiative we want to work on out in the community, whether we're part of a board or commission or not part of a board or commission, whether we claim it as our primary focus of our initiative. We are representatives of the people of Story County, and that's going to mean from time to time we are going to overlap in what we're working on and where we're going. Now, we've made our boards and commissions assignments, and I think that's great, and we ought to respect those and work through those wherever possible. But don't for one second believe that in any way limits any of the three of us in our ability to go out and serve the people of Story County as we see fit. It also does not, none of our positions give any of us individually the authority to direct staff to do anything or give them instructions to do anything. With that said, the StoryCom project, Loris, you know, Linda, I don't know how closely you followed it, so this is a project updating our E911 system. The joke that I, in quotation marks, the joke that I would use pretty regularly is we aren't quite at the level of 10 cans on screens with our E911 system, but sadly, it's not that far removed in terms of an analogy. So we've been working hard for the last few years. Sheriff Fitzgerald, who had to go, has been working really, really hard to put us in the best position possible. We've hired a consultant for two phases of trying to get us to the end of that project. We're to the point now where RFPs were issued and bids came in. The sad part is those bids came in about 25% higher than we were expecting, to the tune of about $12 million, all said and done. There's been a work group, this StoryCom work group, has been working in City of Ames, Iowa State University, and Story County worked together to form that 2080. It was drafted, I believe, by the county attorney's office initially, and then has been through some modification. But we're working on exactly how all of that is going to fit together. Now, each entity retains its own decision-making rights. We are the decision-making authority for Story County. City Council is the decision-making authority for the City of Ames, and ultimately the president, or if necessary, Board of Trustees is the decision-making authority for Iowa State University. To this point, and in the 2080, we've agreed to fund the backbone of that system a third, a third, a third. There was lots of conversation about how that would get broken up, and at the end of the day, the determination was made the cleanest, easiest way for a partnership like that is a third, a third, a third. That does not encompass the full $12 million. That encompasses a smaller portion of that, for the sake of argument, called about $5 million. Between $5 and $6 million at this point. With the bids coming in so much higher than, the proposals coming in so much higher than expected, we're working hard now to try to figure out where we head from here and what each decision-making authority needs to deal with in as timely a fashion as possible. To that end, I've actually got two meetings later today, one with Dina McKenna in our sheriff's office just to go through the fine points of each of the RFPs, and then this afternoon with the full StoryCom group to try to put together how we're going to move forward to our respective decision-making bodies to try to get this item addressed. That's where we are on StoryCom.
Okay. Other initiatives you're looking at, groups that may be bringing proposals to us, update all the special groups that you're considering?
Yeah, I think you guys are aware of my activity level at the state and national level. So with Iowa Association of Counties, I'm now the vice chair of the Supervisors Exec Board. I also serve as chair of the policy committee for that group, and now I'm the newly appointed chair of the Education Committee for Supervisors. I would imagine that's going to take a substantial amount of my time. The policy committee means that I'll be spending a lot of time down at the State House this year working on some of the supervisors' initiatives. But I don't expect anything directly to come to the Board of Supervisors on that. It's more the overall. The National Association of Counties, I serve on the International Economic Development Task Force. I'm the only Iowan representing. I'm the only Iowan on that task force. There will be multiple opportunities for us to look at how we as counties can do a better job attracting international economic development opportunities. Hopefully some things will come to us out of that, but I can't say anything specific on that. That will require a substantial amount of time. Something you don't have listed here, I'm a member of the Iowa Bioproducts Center of Excellence Development Committee. That is solely looking at an initiative to bring a bio center of excellence to Story County through Iowa State University, and we continue our work on getting that done. You do have listed here, I serve on the MICA Board of Directors. MICA is headquartered in Marshalltown, and with everything Marshalltown's been through, there have been some really interesting challenges as we continue our mission of trying to raise people out of poverty. Boy, then I don't know what else you want to talk about.
Take a breath. Nothing, because we had you for your, what we approved earlier was emergency management.
Yeah, I'm chair of the Emergency Management Commission, and we're glad to continue in that role.
Ex officio for the conservation, and you're staying on Central Iowa Region 11 workforce.
How I'm the chair of that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm chair of that work.
So that's the three there. Okay, we'll turn to Supervisor Merkin, and we've got you on Central Iowa Community Services, DCAT, Boost. We're going to have you go to Wellness and Safety. Likely Prairie Rivers. That's by you.
Oh, I've got to resign from Prairie Rivers. So I'm on the Prairie Rivers board right now, but I'll go ahead and resign, Linda, to open the door for them to hopefully invite you to join that board.
Okay. Then Squaw Creek Watershed Authority, the South Watershed Authority, we're going to take you off of Central Iowa Juvenile Detention, as we discussed earlier, put you on the E91 board, and the Story County Assessor Mini Board. Those are the appointments we made today. What about you for your areas of interest that is coming in? What do you think you'd like to work on?
Well, that's a lot. I am really glad to be on the Central Iowa Community Services Board and also the Squaw Creek and the Susquehanna Watershed Authorities, because as you all know, I've been very concerned about mental health treatment and also have some real concerns about the environment. I would welcome an invitation from Prairie Rivers of Iowa to be on their board, but I'll wait and hear from them. Also, Boost, because of the early childhood. I'm very concerned that we increase prevention efforts as much as we can. And early childhood 0 to 5 is exactly where we need to be, need to be working on right now. And the E911 board, also I'm glad to be on that because of public safety background, and will hope my abilities there, hope the things that I learned when I was chairing Gilbert Franklin Fire Agency will come in handy there. We did a lot of work on that. I don't know, this is going to be a year where I get used to being on this side of the table, and I'm very, very glad to be doing so and to be working with two supervisors with the great experience of these two. So we'll see how it goes, and I'll get my login someday, and then I'll really know what's going on. But no, thank you very much. And Supervisor Sanders, thank you for the nice things you said about me at the beginning of the meeting. I really appreciated that.
All right, so I'm going to continue to work on the housing, affordable, and what we call starter or low to middle income. I'm also going to continue to work on rural transport and public transport, including workforce, because those are now going to have to be tied together given the financial realities of reduced funding for public transport. Economic development, now that I'll be on the AADC board and taking a look at how can we continue to collaborate and coordinate and with our biggest city, and in addition to go ahead and create new economic opportunity and development opportunities for our smaller communities. The Hunger Coalition, I'm going to stay with the Story County Opioid, continue to go with that, and other human services taking a look at that are not related to mental health. I think that the board is well represented on the mental health standpoint between Supervisor Merka at CICS and Supervisor Sanders being on the state board, the advisory board. One of the things I want to focus on with human services is the ALICE report. Economist and Professor Peter Erasm gave a speech just a couple months ago to the Ames Economic Development Commission and the Ames Chamber, and talked about how his questioning some of the statistics in the ALICE report, and I'd like to work with Professor Erasm in figuring out where exactly are the disconnects between our quality of life and the incomes and what's available and the needs in Story County. So those are the areas where I anticipate spending a great deal of my time this year. So, and if we've got nothing else.
Yeah, so you just reminded me of one thing that I'm not part of yet, but it wouldn't surprise me if I become part of, is Amos has reached out to me, and I'm having a meeting with him, I believe, next week. And I think they're going to ask for my involvement on a specific project. It's my intention that if they ask, I would do that. But I'll let you guys know.
Is this the Housing First project?
No idea. They just asked for a meeting with me. I assume it's to ask me to get involved in something. I'll go to the meeting and I'll figure it out.
Okay. There are no agency reports. There are no departmental reports. There are no other reports. So then this is when we have the few members of the public still here. Invite them up if they have any comment. Okay. All right. Liaison assignments, committee updates, and announcements from the supervisors.
I would just take this opportunity to say I am really, really excited about 2019 and the opportunities that we have ahead of us.
Okay. Supervisor Markin. Okay, so I have some basic information. Do want to let you know that I met with the executive director of the Nevada Economic Development Corporation, and we are going to be asked to come and give quarterly reports to the NADC. I thought we would do those on a rotating basis if everybody's up for that, or the board chair can go do those. Preferences?
Board chair.
Okay, all right. All right. So, Supervisor Merkin, you've not said anything. I'll take that as consent. All right. Okay. So upcoming, just to let you know and let the public know, we start our budget workshop soon. That will be happening on, I believe, is it the 10th or the 9th? Okay, sorry, I got that wrong. All right.
Budgets come back to us. We'll see them for the first time, the proposed budgets, on the 9th, I believe, and then our workshop will start the following week.
This following week, then. Okay, and they'll continue through the 25th. We're going to have, there's a possibility, we're going to have a special meeting on January 22nd. I'll be talking to staff about this. It will deal with the master matrix, confinements, and possibly there will be some other items on that agenda. And given the overflow crowd we had last time around and complaints about our facilities, looking at maybe taking it off-site. I've already started talking to our directors of internal and external operation about that meeting. And, of course, then we'll also be talking about whether we're going to use the certification evaluation review construction evaluation review. We'll be having our insurance review late in January, early February. Our insurance broker will come, Nap Tedesco, and be giving us an update on insurance and take a look at where we stand compared to who we're using now in private companies. Then also, we will go ahead. I'll get that boards and commissions taken care of as soon as possible. On January 10th in the evening, I believe this will be at Mary Greeley Medical Center, there's going to be the Story County Opioid Task Force is doing their next community conversation featuring County Attorney Jessica Reynolds, who's going to talk about the commitment process and legal implications related to that. So with that, I would take a motion to adjourn.
Move that we adjourn.
Second. We are adjourned. Thank you. Oh, and I guess I get to go. All right.
There you go.